I hope you're feeling really brave, boys and girls, because we're going to look at some slides today and talk about things that scare people and things that they might be in fear of. So I've got some slides I'm going to show you, and let's see if you can recognize the things that people are sometimes afraid of. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what you might do about those things that people feel afraid of. So little techniques that people use sometimes as they are afraid of these things. Okay? So we'll put the first slide up. Let's see if you recognize. Now, what's that on the left-hand side? What's that? What's that on the left-hand side? Any guesses?
Spider.
Spider, someone said. Yeah, very good. A spider. Now, you're not scared of spiders. Lots of people are scared of spiders. I won't do a poll of the rest of the church, but lots of people actually are quite scared of spiders. Maybe it's more grown-ups than children sometimes. And actually, most spiders, of course, in this country, well, all spiders in this country, really, you don't need to be afraid of. They're native to this country. But that spider, that is a scary spider. That spider is called the Brazilian wandering spider. Okay? Well, I'd be scared of this one. I'll tell you why. Because if this spider bites you, it can kill you. It's as bad as the bite from the venom of a snake. Okay, so you do not want to get bitten by this spider. This one is one that you need to be scared of. It's sometimes called the banana spider. You can probably guess where it sometimes is found, but not in Waitrose or Tesco's, don't worry, I'm sure. But it's the spiders. And some people are afraid of spiders. And one thing you could do if you are afraid of spiders is just gradually expose yourself a little bit more to spiders. You know, not the Brazilian wandering one, but save spiders like we get in this country. Maybe let them run across your hand or something. And if you do that gradually over a period of time, you get a bit less scared of spiders, apparently. And the second one, the right-hand side, is actually sort of from the spider family. What do you think it is?
Scorpion.
It's a scorpion, yeah. Now, I'll tell you a scorpion story. So my dad, he worked in Africa for a time, in the desert, in the north. And one night he was having a shower and he looked down and he saw a scorpion in the shower tray. And he saw it just in time as it stung him with its sting, there at the back you can see. And the sting knocked him out. He sort of fell over and passed out and lying in the shower. And then when he woke up, the scorpion was still there in the shower. So to get his revenge, he went and got some heavy-duty chemicals that he had lying around where he was working, and he poured them all over the scorpion, and the scorpion went like that. And I thought, great, I've killed it. And he was flying back home that evening or the next day, so he thought, I know, this would be a really cool gift to bring back for my children to show them this dead scorpion. So he wrapped it in a towel and put it in his suitcase. It was only when he got back into the country the next day and he was unpacking his suitcase that, what do you think he found? Was it dead? He was actually still alive. He hadn't killed it, he just stunned it. So, and I can tell you for a fact, these are really hard to kill, because then we had the job of doing that, stop anybody else getting stung. So you're right to be scared of scorpions if you come across one. I tell you what some people, you might not like this, but what some people do in some cultures with scorpions is they cook them and they eat them. So maybe that'd stop you being afraid of them, wouldn't you, if you kind of eat a few of them, but make sure they're dead first. Okay, next slide. What's this person scared of, do you think? What fear have we got here? Yes. Fear of heights, yeah. And lots of people have this. You've got a high building, or maybe you're near a cliff edge, and you're kind of, mummy or daddy's holding onto your hand, and you're kind of, ooh, it's a bit scary. And this person, you see, they're petrified. Actually, if you look closely, it's quite a trick photo. They've done quite a clever thing with the photo. But what you'd say to this person, who's clearly afraid of heights in this photo, is just wear the right equipment. Yeah, wear some ropes and some helmets and so on. Don't go climbing with the right equipment. It's one way of dealing with a fear of heights. Now to the next one. What do you think this person is afraid of? Next slide. What do you think they might be afraid of? Yes, what do you think they're afraid of? What do you think? Yes.
Dark.
Afraid of the dark, yeah. Now, quite a few children actually have this. This is a little child and they're under the covers at night, and lots of people are afraid of, if you like, the unknown, what's out there in the dark when they go to bed. That's quite normal for children especially, and quite a few grown-ups. So what can we do about that? Well, that child's doing what lots do, which is have a nightlighter sometimes and get to the covers and feel safe under your covers. Quite a few people look under their bed before they go to bed at night, just check there's nothing under there. That's quite a common one as well. So, and when I was a child, I was afraid of the dark as well. So what I did was one day I thought, I can't always be afraid of the dark. So I went and sat in the dark back garden at night for a little while and just listened to all the night noises that can otherwise be a bit scary. And for a while I thought, actually, I'm still here, so I don't think I need to be afraid of these the dark and dark noise and everything. So that's what I used. Don't do it without talking to your parents first, okay? Don't just go and do this by yourself. Okay, the next one, next fear. What do you think this is a fear? Sometimes if people are about to go to a new school, maybe an older school, they sometimes worry that this might happen and they can be a little bit afraid of these people. Yes. Bullies, yeah, afraid of bullies and fear of bullies. That's quite normal as well, just worried about, you know, other children being nasty to you. And it might happen in school, increasingly it happens online now, and which is really sad. But the way you deal with this fear, of course, is always tell a teacher and tell your parents. So never just kind of let it happen and not tell somebody. Always tell somebody about it. But yeah, that's something that lots of people can be fearful of. Fortunately, I think it happens less in schools. It's a bit more online now. And the next one. This one's a little bit cryptic. It's like a puzzle. What's this person, this cartoon, afraid of? What do you think? Things anger, though. Something's angry behind him. He's a bit afraid of that, isn't he? That question mark. What is that question mark sort of is there? What does it mean? What were they afraid of? If it's a question mark, what could it be? What do you think?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's almost spot on, actually. Yeah, so he's sort of afraid of the unknown. Lots of people are just afraid of, you know, it's not just things they know about. It's they're worried, they're scared of the unknown, particularly maybe think about the future. I don't know what might happen in the future, the unknown. I'm really scared by it. And lots of people get worried about that sort of thing these days as well. So for the grown-ups, it's like Paul in Athens, isn't it, with the shrine to the unknown God. It's fear of the unknown things as well. And the next one. Now, sometimes we get afraid of things, and sometimes we're more afraid than we should be. And it's called irrational fear. It's fear of things that really aren't as risky as we fear they might be. And we give that name, a big name, we call it phobias. A phobia is when you're afraid of something, and maybe more afraid of it than you should be. So the spider was sort of the beginning. That's called arachnophobia. Spiders make you really scared. Now, there's a certain phobia here. What's this person doing? Can you work out what this person is doing? Yeah. He's in a cave. Where is he, do you think? Where is that cave? So he's underground, and he's trying to get through this really small space. Now, he doesn't have this fear I'm talking about. He's happy to go underground and crawl through tiny caves, but lots of people wouldn't want to do this. What would they be afraid of, do you think? Some bad things might happen underground, but even if they were above ground, they might have a fear of being in what? Yeah.
Might get stuck.
Anything else? Yeah. They might be stuck underground for a long time. How about if he was above ground, but in a very small space? What might he be afraid of?
Yeah. They might be afraid of spiders.
Oh, well, yeah. He could still be afraid. Maybe he is afraid of spiders. Yeah, he has got a fear, but he's a... You can sometimes get them underground as well. You're entirely right. I'll give you a clue. Sometimes people have these, if they're in maybe an elevator lift, you know, a lift in a building, and there's lots of people there, and they're all crammed together, and they don't like that experience. What's that a fear of? Yes, at the end.
Nervous.
Nervous of what? They could be nervous. Yes?
Small spaces,
being pressed into small spaces. Like this person, he doesn't have this fear. I wouldn't do this personally. I wouldn't like to be in this position. You'd like that, would you? Okay. Risk taker, I like it. So, but a lot of people don't like to be compressed into small spaces. It's called claustrophobia. It's like a fear of being compressed into small spaces. And then the next one. This is a new type of phobia or fear of something. This is quite a new word. And it's a fear that I bet a lot of people in the church have. Lots of teenagers have this. Any guesses what this is a fear of? Nomophobia. You might need a bit of help from some of the grown-ups. I'll give you a clue in how you say it. Nomophobia. No mo-phobia. Any guesses? What could the mo be the start of? You probably haven't got one of these yet, but your parents have. Some help for an adult, yes. No, it's the fear of not being able to use your mobile phone or not having it with you, or maybe there's a bad signal and so you can't use it. And this person has nomophobia because he wants to call Deliveroo for 300 Spartans to help him and he can't get through and he's really angry showing his nomophobia. So these are all things that people can be scared of and fearful of. And we've talked about different things you can do to try and reduce that fear. Now, I'm going to read the Bible in a second when you go back to your seats. And let's see if you can spot another thing, which is different from all these, that we're told to be fearful of. Okay, let's see if you can spot it in the reading when I do it. Okay, you've been brilliant this morning. Go back to your seats for now and listen up for the reading. So we're reading from Psalm 90 on page 599. Yes, page 599. Apologies to any adults who had little shivers at various points in those slides. But Psalm 90. And we read, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, you brought forth the whole world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Just briefly pray before I speak. Heavenly Father, from the youngest child to the oldest person here, we pray right now for your help as we open your word to open our ears and enlarge our hearts. Help us to be attentive to what you are saying to us this morning by your Spirit. Help us to listen to you speak to us through your word. Help us to be changed this very day as we encounter you through your word. And bless us all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, towards the end of the first millennium, towards the end of the first 1,000 years after the birth of Jesus, after the collapse of the Roman Empire, the Catholic Church added a new event in the annual calendar for the 1st of November, calling it All Saints' Day or All Hallows' Day, hallow being another word for holy. And it was created, meant to commemorate Christians who had died for the faith, especially during the fallen Roman Empire. And so the night before that new day became All Hallows Eve or Halloween. But all the church was doing when it did that was trying to cover up a festival that had nothing at all to do with Jesus, but was a long-going Celtic pagan evening where they believed that spirits of the dead would come back and roam the earth. So people would wear scary masks to pretend that they were one of those spirits in order to get left alone. Or they would leave out gifts like food to appease those spirits. And so you can see the source of the modern secular Halloween. Now the problem with all this is it's being fearful of the wrong thing. And just look at Psalm 90 again, and particularly verse 11. If only we knew the power of your anger, for your wrath is as great as a fear that is due, that is your due. Well, perhaps it surprises us to read of God in this way, a God who could be angry and who should be feared. After all, you know, when we fear something, normally we kind of run away from it. So how do we reconcile this with Jesus' call to follow him and the way that he welcomed all people? Well, this isn't the fear like a child cringing under the bully's sway, just awaiting his strike. This isn't a fear of the unknown or the what if. And this isn't a phobia. It isn't irrational to know this fear, quite the opposite. This represents awe, a word that we use very casually these days, like let's have pizza for dinner. How awesome. The Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, he understood the true meaning of awe. It's to gaze at God's perfect holiness, aware of our own sin. And Isaiah wrote about this in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, when he writes, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted." And what would we do if we were sat in Isaiah's place right now? Well, the other week we went to the theatre to see a play called The Mirror and the Light. It's the final installment on the life of Thomas Cromwell. I don't know how, but we somehow ended up with front row seats, which was incredible. And the acting was simply amazing, and it was all just completely spellbinding. And so the end of it all I could do was just applaud and just marvel at the skill of the actors. Well, that's like comparing a grain of sand to the mountain of Isaiah's experience. Isaiah saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. And so his response is as follows. He says, "Woe to me, I am ruined," he cried, "for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." He couldn't just applaud, like I did at that theater, and marvel at the glory of God as I admired the skill of the actors, because the fierce holiness of God reflected back and revealed his own sin. It was oppressive. It was crushing. Well, imagine if I'd spent the whole time in that theater, sat on the front row, talking loudly on my mobile phone because I have nomophobia, and taking calls constantly with a really loud Angry Birds theme tune on the call ringtone. But let's say the actors carry on regardless, because they're professionals. But as the end, as I applaud them, the lead actor points to me and says, "You ruined the whole play." Well, maybe we're starting to get a small sense of Isaiah's experience. That we'll all one day have that same experience that Isaiah had of coming before the King, the Lord Almighty. What will we do about our rational fear of God's wrath? Well, we can't do what the Celtic pagans did on Halloween. We can't just do a moral trick or treat. We can't try to buy off God by pointing to all the good things that we do. It's not some sort of trade-off. I mean, we can spend a whole life trying to be good and doing good things. It's kind of the equivalent of giving a lorry load of sweets to a trick-or-treater. It still won't be enough, not nearly close. Instead, it's actually an earlier psalm, Psalm 2, that tells us what to do. In it, David is pointing forward to Jesus, the Messiah, when he writes, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. This isn't kiss in the modern meaning, but to embrace as a friend. And if we think we're not worthy to do this, to embrace the Son of God, well, we're entirely right. But don't let that stop us, no matter how unworthy we feel. Remember how Judas identified Jesus on the night he was betrayed with a kiss. So Jesus was even willing to embrace the one he knew had betrayed him. So our only hope to overcome the fear of a God who is righteously angry at our sin is a love that has conquered fear, the love that is from God. 1 John 4 writes, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. It was knowing this love that allowed Paul to write in 1 Corinthians, where, O death, is your sting? He didn't fear the thing that underlies most things that people fear in this life, death itself. The love of God had overcome the fear. So tonight on Halloween, don't be afraid of some cheap plastic face masks that people may wear, or plastic skeletons on people's by people's front doors or in their gardens. Don't be afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid of the unknown. Instead, in the words of the angel in Revelation 14, verse 7, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. It's worth reflecting that we can know this truth in part because just over 500 years ago, on the 31st of October, one Martin Luther pinned to the door of the University of Wittenberg a call to reclaim the truth of the message of Jesus. So today we celebrate Reformation Sunday, when Luther boldly proclaimed what the Bible makes clear. We can only know God's salvation through faith alone, by grace alone. Kiss the Son. Knowing that truth drives out fear and welcomes the love of God. Again, those words to close from Revelation. Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you that in knowing holy fear, the fear of your amazing, perfect holiness and righteousness, we're on the way to knowing your love that drives out fear. The love shown by your Son at the cross. The love that conquers fear now in this world and into eternity. The love that has no limits in who it's available to. Young or old, rich or poor, whatever race, whatever tribe. Thank you, Lord God, we can come to you this morning and know that love that drives out fear. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.